That's my life. I want to sing this song about back in the good days.
And we're back on March 24th, 2025 for a new episode of Farm Talk. Welcome, dear listeners, and welcome in the studio. I have Adam, Justin, Haley, and Fallon, all from Wild Mountain Seeds, carrying on the tradition. And why don't you all introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Adam Ting. I work at Wild Mountain Seeds. We'll be managing that farm this season here with Justin, who is right here.
Hi, Justin.
Hey, how's it going, Cody? Yep, I'm working with Adam this season. We're going to do some stuff at Wild Mountain Seeds, see what we can do.
Hey, guys, this is Haley. I used to work over at Wild Mountain Seeds under Justin and Casey, and I'm over at Two Roots Farm right now, and yeah, happy to be here.
Hello, and I'm Fallon. Just like Haley, I apprenticed at Wild Mountain Seeds with Casey and Justin and Nick, and yeah, just here to have some fun conversations.
Right on. Well, let's start with you ladies talking about your experience at Wild Mountain Seeds and how you got into that.
Yeah, so I actually was introduced to Casey through Brooke and Rose at Sustainable Settings, and they said, hey, you've got to go work for this guy. He's one of a kind. So ended up getting the apprenticeship over there. And that was, what, 2023?
Yeah.
And, spent a season there learning as much as I possibly could absorb from Casey. I think the first day Fallon and I got there, we taste tested about 200 different carrots.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you get like two full of carrots?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, we've spent them out a lot, too.
Yeah. It was wine tasting for carrots. Yeah. But the whole purpose to do that was to pick what seed that Casey wanted to plant, and you know, trying to test flavor profiles and really see what was going to be the best for, you know, our CSA members, the community. And I think at that point I realized, I was like, oh, this is going to be a season. We're going to be doing some work. I mean, we're here taste testing 200 carrots on the first day. What's going to come next? But we had an incredible season. And I think I can speak for both of us saying that we are so fortunate to have been able to learn from Casey and to be at that property. And yeah, Fallon, do you want to add to that?
No, I guess I can just give a bit of my background of how I found Wild Mountain Seeds and Seed Peace in the past. I worked up with Jerome Ossentowski, the crazy permaculture guy at the Central Rocky Mountain Permaculture Institute up there on Basalt Mountain. And he told me, I have to work for this guy. He knows so much, so knowledgeable. He really gets growing food and he's just doing it right. And so I was like, okay, I needed something for the summer. And I saw the apprenticeship and I jumped on it because, Jerome was very, very specific about just how much Casey knew and how valuable he was to the community and the farming world. And so, yeah, I decided to do it, and I found out real farming's way harder than permaculture. It was a heck of a lot of work and a lot of knowledge that I gained from the experience, and I'm still learning, and I just realized how little I know. And yeah, it's a bit about my experience.
Yeah, that's true, that sort of market farming is a lot different than permaculture.
Oh, way, way different.
Totally different concept.
Yeah, I was not ready.
Well, we also have Adam and Justin in. And how did you guys get involved with the farm?
I got involved in the farm. I was working at Skip's Farm to Market 2018, 2017, and got invited to like a taco party at Casey's house one night, and after a couple margaritas we went down into his basement where he started just showing me all the seed he had. I remember he showed me like a handful of this mix of like beautiful beans. They're like yellow and purple and it's like spirally and spotted, And I was pretty much sold at that moment. Started volunteering for them for a number of seasons. Took some time, went to Two Roots Farm. Shout out Harper Kaufman, Two Roots Farm.
Whoop whoop.
Whoop whoop. But then last season came back to Wild Mountain Seeds and was one of the managers last year there. And again, we'll be kind of growing vegetables, growing seed, having a good time this year.
And I want Justin to give us his little spiel on when he started there. But let's get back to you, Adam, of where you just came from after that.
What do you mean?
The seed conference.
Oh, the seed conference. Yeah.
Yeah, but first let's let Justin.
Yeah, yeah. But Justin and I both went to that.
So yeah, he was there
Justin.
Too.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, I was there as well.
Okay.
So I have been kind of in agriculture for about a decade now. I had originally reached out to Casey actually through a job posting a few years ago. I was working at a farm in Boulder that turns out a lot of people I know have worked at. It's called Red Wagon, so I'm sure there's a lot of people out there listening that probably have worked there too. Who knows? But I had applied. I was living in the Midwest farming out there. I had applied for a job in Colorado because I just wanted to be closer to family and folks like that. Really liked the regenerative aspect of the farm. And I'd say that the majority of the farming I had done before I came out to Wild Mountain Seeds was very tillage based, meaning that there was a lot of soil disturbance going on, and you know, just knowing that that's not really the way I wanted to go about agriculture, wanted to learn some new stuff. So, yeah, came out to Colorado in the 2022 season, was working on the Front Range. And Casey actually reached out to me again at the end of that season asking if I was interested in applying for a job again. And so I did, and we met that winter. And then I started working for Wild Mountain Seeds in like 2023 season. So I've been here for 2 years going into the third season right now. And yeah, we were just at the seed conference in Corvallis. So it was a good experience for sure.
And just to go back to some of the listeners that aren't familiar with regenerative agriculture, it's just like it sounds, giving back to the soil that you're taking from each season to grow market vegetables. And you said something about tilling more on previous farms you've been on. That means that regenerative or they're at High Mountain Seeds, that you're using minimal tillage, no tillage, or planting cover crops. Can you speak a little more to that?
Yeah. I'd say right now we're trying to do more conservation type of tillage. So we still use some tractor mounted cultivating and kind of just soil movement tools. But these are things like a harrow that is generally only disturbing like the very top layer of the soil, or maybe just like a few inches down. We don't use things like rototillers or rotovators, which are things that go pretty deep down in the soil to kind of fluff up the dirt or the soil, you'd say. And like, not only does that it's really destructive to all the habitats, those microorganisms that are down there. It can create a plow pan underneath where you're tilling. So you're having worse infiltration. If it pulverizes the soil, that can also create a crust on the surface. So you get really bad infiltration there as well. You know, so we're kind of looking into that, and Adam's got he's been giving me a lot of good ideas too, and we're trying to kind of move that way of a lot less mechanical movement of the soil as we go.
And I imagine that takes a lot of people power.
Yeah, a lot of people power, a lot of hands and knees.
I remember when Casey first started there, he was all about the broad fork.
Yeah, he has since moved to the potato fork or the digging fork. It's a little more like,
oh,
it's less like two. It's like a, you know, it's just a regular just garden fork.
Yeah, that's what I. That's little, what
yeah,
I use.
A little more ergonomic.
I was thinking of investing in a broad fork this year, just because it's hard to for just one person to move along with the digging fork.
I find that when I use a broad fork, It's just heavier.
Yeah.
And the digging fork, I can just go so much faster and have a little more precision with.
Like a samurai or something.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, to each their own. The broad forks are, like, wider, so it can be nice to handle more width of the bed at once, but I'll race anybody with my potato fork skills.
Let's do it, man. Let's have some Olympics.
Yeah, Farm Olympics.
We do.
You have?
Yeah, there's a Farm Olympics that happens every fall generally. Mm-hmm. Two Roots Farm has proudly won it a few times now.
We are in possession of the golden shovel at the moment.
They were the champions last year. There was a little, you know, there was some debate, maybe. Maybe, but water under the bridge, you know.
I'm wearing my Satank Redneck Olympics shirt. Not so much like useful farming sports in that, though.
But adjacent knowledge.
So, Adam, you and Justin just got back from Corvallis, Oregon, right? Yeah. At a seed conference. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was the Organic Seed Conference. It's kind of like the main organic seed conference out there. People travel from all over the United States. There's a lot of Canadians there. And it's like 3 days of, there's some tours in the beginning, just amazing a lot of small seed companies who are doing really awesome work, growing out heirloom varieties, doing some seed breeding, doing a lot of like locally adapted seeds. So there's tons of cool seed that's just floating around, and there's a little seed swap at the end. But for me, the stuff that I really got excited about were kind of like the talks where people are saying like, this is how we print our seed packets, or like, this is how we do order fulfillment.
That's really important.
Yeah.
Work,
it's right? All this like nitty gritty work that you need to know to have, so you're not spending like all your time just like putting seeds in a packet, figuring out how to do it efficiently, but also like organize it so that, you know, people are interested in the products you're offering.
It's a full-time job just breeding and growing the seed. So yeah, that's a whole other aspect of it.
Yeah, there's so much to it. Like, I personally love just working in the gardens and like getting my hands dirty, and my organizational skills may need some more time to develop.
Or maybe someone else should do that.
Or maybe someone else should do that, Cody. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Justin, do you have any takeaways from the seed conference?
Yeah, no, it was a really, really good experience in a lot of ways, especially just for networking with people that really know what they're doing or had just been in the seed growing, seed breeding community for a long time. So many eccentric individuals. I mean, it takes a really different person. I mean, just to be a farmer is one thing, but to be a seed farmer, like, I don't know. These people are pretty amazing for what they're doing. I think, you know, and I've been telling a few people this, like, one of the biggest takeaways I had from it was how little I kind of understood or how ignorant I really was about all of the policy and all of like the kind of culture surrounding seed. There's quite a lot of seed growers and seed producers at this conference from like groups that are marginalized historically.
Wow.
A lot of people like trying to hold on to seeds from like the African diaspora, stuff like that.
Wow.
You know, really just really kind of like shows you what a seed is to a culture or to a person.
Oh, gosh.
And how it's so easy just to take that from somebody else and like kind of profit off of someone else's like work that they've done for maybe centuries, thousands of years. I mean, you know, so that really blew my mind a lot, and it just really changed a lot of my perspectives on like who owns seed.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I know that like Casey always had, I didn't really realize this until I kind of opened like a returned package from, you know, I was like going through seeds and I opened a package that had been returned because it was like a just return to sender thing. And it, every package he sends out, it has like this spiel, like where it's like, thank you for purchasing our seeds. You know, this is how we do it here. And then at the bottom, they have the open source seed initiative, like a pledge on there.
Oh, amen to that.
Yeah. And so, you know, just saying things like, this seed is free for you to do whatever you want with. But in return, like, you're pledging that you're not going to, like, kind of, you're not going to try and control someone else's use of it. In
yeah,
some
right.
way.
Yeah, it prevents trademarks from anybody taking trade, like, getting a trademark on a seed for any varieties that they have developed using any seed that has the OSSI, Open Seed Source Initiative pledge on it.
It's a really beautiful model for how economics could be throughout the world, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I focus more on the seed stuff, so I can't say too much about the rest of the world. I try to focus on our local sphere and getting good food to good people. But yeah, it's like seed is a resource, and we need to steward it with thought and with care, and recognize that other people have been doing that for generations, and we need to continue doing it for generations, or else we'll probably lose so much fun food. There's you know,
diversity.
Yeah, so much diversity. Like when we like Justin was talking about, there's the southern exposure seeds. They're down in the south. I can't remember which state they're based out of. But they had just at least, I don't know, like 10 different varieties of collards, just collards itself. And, you know, all different types of, like, for the leaves or for like, the stalks of the collard, just different ways of using one plant and different, you know, different intentions that each of these cultures have kind of seen value in and taken part of.
And when people's lives depended on it, and we see that in some of the heritage crops here, just with the apples, with growing different varieties of apples, of like the first one that comes to fruit, the transparent or whatever, that you can make sauces and pies and whatever, but they're not good for keeping. And then, you know, they succeed into the late fall where you have apples that will keep all winter, and, you know, because people didn't have a supermarket back then. So.
Yeah. And I think that's what really got me into seed work, is just seeing the just vast array of food crops that are available, and like coming from my just like, you know, somewhat privileged, just like Massachusetts background, eating from the supermarket and not really questioning like where my food was coming from, and then seeing like the seed itself and all the things that can grow from just one species, one variety. It's pretty fun. It's like there's so much out there to try. There's so much cool food to eat out there, and that's what excites me. It's like, I love to eat.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with some of the young farmers who are carrying on the torch at Wild Mountain Seeds, just south of Carbondale on 133, right behind the Sustainable Settings Ranch, and at
Sunfire
Ranch, the Sewell property. Yeah. Five generations, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
It's
long-standing.
It's a lot. Yeah. So, Haley, you were saying that are you currently working at Two Roots Farm?
Yes, I'm currently at Two Roots. I was there last season, and I transitioned from Wild Mountain Seeds over to Two Roots in 2024. And I think the time that I had at Wild Mountain Seeds really prepared me to kind of go over to another farm and explore what another farm is like. And it really gave me the groundwork to, you know, get that job and be at another farm that's also serving the community. And I'm extremely grateful for the time I had there. I had some incredible leaders, Justin sitting right next to me. I didn't have the pleasure of working with Adam, but just know him through the community and our farm friends. But yeah, Casey really laid the groundwork for me and really kind of gave me the opportunity to see what I wanted out of farming. And what I wanted with that was to serve the community and serve myself spiritually. I think the time that I had there really opened myself up to seeing how everything is connected, how, you know, as above, so below. We're all, it's all a continuous circle. And being able to have your eyes open to that really was a beautiful thing. And yeah, it led me to where I am. And I'm happy to always wear Wild Mountain Seeds on my hat or on my back, you know?
It's a great form of therapy, huh? Getting out there in the dirt.
Absolutely.
It gets in our DNA. Yeah. So I don't even know where Two Roots Farm is.
It's off Emma Road behind the old schoolhouse. It's located in Basalt. Harbor Kaufman owns and operates the farm.
Yeah, that's beautiful land up there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of situated in a banana belt. It's great growing over there, and great crew over there. And I think we can all speak, or I can speak for everyone, saying that the farming community here is, we're really interconnected, and we all support each other, and we have a lot of love for each other, and we all get together and we're able to share, you know, how we farm and the seasons that we're having and, you know, the trials and tribulations, and we're able to come together and celebrate and support each other. And yeah, I feel like we're very lucky.
Well, it's really inspiring to see all these four folks in the tiny KDNK studio. And I don't know, it's interesting times. It's 2025. I want to say like it's been positive, like that I've seen sort of this like the surge in young farmers in the past 15 or 20 years that I've been around here. And then at the same time, you see more land like being gobbled up by very wealthy people and more developments. And there's still like so much arable land in our area. And I think our life depends on it, and we need to focus more on supporting young farmers and, you know, having access to the land for whoever's listening out there. That's my opinion.
Yeah, to kind of riff on that too, it's like, I think, especially in the regenerative agricultural spaces, there's a lot of young folks coming into the movement and sort of changing or rethinking the paradigm of like a family farm. Which I know like is great, and it can be such like a amazing like lineage that family farms have. But there's also this, you know, all of us young farmers are kind of coming into regenerative spaces, really wanting to take care of the earth, but also kind of trying to rethink our paradigms of how we access food, how we approach distributing food. You know, what food are we eating? Like. So I really appreciate that, kind of like echoing what Haley's saying, just like the community of young farmers that we're close to, you know, Aces, Highwater Farm, yeah. Greenbones Farm, Wild Mountain Seeds, Crimpy,
Cattle
Creek,
settings.
Sustainable Settings. Like there's so many amazing.
And Mike and Shelley's will be here this season.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. People are coming and going, but there's like still this like this just vein of just amazing support. That we all just like thrive off of. And it's just so, I don't know if there's any other places that have this close of a community of young farmers. Obviously I've been here for a while, so maybe that's just because I've been here for a while, but yeah, it's really, really something else.
And Fallon, are you going back to Wild Mountain Seeds for this coming season?
I don't know what, in what capacity I'll be there, but I hope to at least volunteer occasionally. But I'm going to be farming with Mike and Shelley with their business that's also named Mike and Shelley's at Sustainable Settings this year, doing some biodynamic farming and learning kind of their techniques and following the biodynamic calendar and just gleaning from there. And
oh, cool.
Yeah, so I'll still be farming. I'll finally have finished my sustainability studies degree from CMC. Thanks to AD for that. It's been a great program, and it's kind of introduced me to farming. And so, yeah, Casey's passing has just even further motivated me. We need more farmers, and
yeah.
We need more people taking care of the land and the soil. So,
And that's Mike and Shelley's.
Mike
that's
and
what they're
Shelley's.
Calling their farm. And
yeah,
it's...
well, their business. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and they we're gonna have cut flowers and some annual vegetable production too. So.
Well, we just have like less than 2 minutes, and I just want to tell all of the listeners like how to find out more about all of the organizations that you're working with, how they can help.
Yeah. Thanks, Cody. I think, you know, we are attempting to fill a gap in the community. We don't fill a hole in the community. We want to continue to be there for people. We want to provide. We want to make sure that people are provided for. So we will be growing vegetables at Wild Mountain Seeds this season for the Carbondale community, and you know, maybe we'll see where how far else we can go with it. But we're planning to do a CSA, and we're planning to be at the farmers market. So hopefully you'll see us there every week. And we really love all your support. Obviously, you can find out more. I mean, you'll find out more soon. But if you ever want to just go on social media, we'll try and be updating people there as much as we can. Wild Mountain Seeds Instagram,
or you can email us wildmountainseeds@gmail.com.
Okay, we have 10 seconds, so you'd give a quick shout out if y'all want to say anything else.
Yeah,
thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, know your food, know your farmers.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Thank y'all so much.